email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 is the text. Now, it's not often we get a glimpse of day-to-day farming life in rural Ireland, am I right? But thanks to one Wicklow family, we're now getting an inside look at both the ups and downs of farm life through the medium of YouTube. Ellen and Joe O'Neill are with me here today in studio. I'm delighted to have you both in.
Thanks,
Anna. Thank you.
How is everything going for you? It's busy in your life, I'd imagine. But before we, I suppose, get into how you became farming YouTubers, you've kind of an interesting story as to how you met. I love stories of how people met. Can you fill people in?
Well, it was a blind date scenario. I was working in an office in Talla in Dublin, and my friend is from Joe's village, and I don't know what notion took her. She took a picture of me in the bar that night and sent it to Joe. And I was like, what are you doing? Anyway, he replied, pretty lady, give me her number. And the next morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, I get a text from this number. And I immediately rang my friend and was like, who is that fella you gave my number to? He must be a weirdo. Like, what's the story? Why is he texting someone at 8 o'clock in the morning? Just thought it was off the wall, you know, thinking he was a bit desperate or what's wrong with him? And she said, Ellen, he's probably been up since 4 o'clock in the morning. And he, to him, this is the middle of the day. And if you don't reply, he's probably thinking, no, she's not my sort of woman. She's in bed still.
Okay. Is that how you remember it now, Joe?
I don't know. It's probably a little bit on the desperate side. But no, that's 8 o'clock is very much the middle of the day in our house. So shot off the text, fingers crossed. And thankfully, Ellen was up and I got a reply. So
we had a blind date the following week. And then the following week after, they were in
Football semi-final,
and invited me down, and I came to see him playing football.
We lost, so she's not a good coach.
It's always nicer when you win, isn't it? Did you play well?
I don't know.
I won the championship the next year. It was all good. Yeah. She just needed me for luck. And yeah, we just hit it off immediately. And on the first date, looking back, it's funny, but Joe had said he wanted to build a house with lots of glass in the back looking at the Wicklow Mountains. He wanted 7 children like his mammy and daddy and someone to farm with.
Hang on, he said this on the first date.
I know. And he tried to say earlier on
Put the cards out early.
I know.
Some people go in cool as a breeze, kind of sounding people out. You're like, no, I want 7 children with a house.
That's why I was like, 7 children? Who has 7 children? He was like, well, my mom and dad did. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Did the idea of him being a farmer and farming life put you off? Was it something that you were
excited about it?
Okay.
I think I had this airy fairy 1950s movie, you know, idea of it. And the first time I came down to Joe, I think wasn't until the October following March, I was kept asking to come down. He was putting me off. And eventually he said, oh, I don't want to put you off. And I was like, no, I just want to see everything because he was always so busy. I want to see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I was driving down and my mother felt the need to ring me to say, now, Ellen, because she had grown up on a small mixed farm, you know, in the 1960s. And Ellen, they're not like pets. You're not to be...
But the animals?
Yeah, you can't go over petting them. You can't stand behind them. They'll kick you, you know. And if Joe was shouting at them, trying to herd them, you're not to be getting angry at him. Like, it's not, you know, what you're used to at home with your cats and your dogs. Like,
okay,
she was trying to prep me.
Okay, so she was trying to mentally prepare you.
Yeah, but sure, everything was so new. Everything was amazing. The fact that they had... The herd has its hierarchy, that they walk into the parlour at the same time, that they know Joe's voice, that sometimes he'd be whispering out in the garden so they wouldn't hear him, that they'll want me to move the fence. Yeah. But we could all be roaring, but they'd know Joe's voice. Or when they're on heat, that another girl cow would jump the cow. I just thought that was a bull. He was like, no, there's no bulls in that field. I'm like, wow.
I know. I remember my dad used to love putting the radio on, because we had a dairy farm. Yeah. He used to love putting the radio on for the cows, and they had their favourites. Yeah. So he'd be changing the radio.
Definitely.
Like, it's lovely, the connection, Joe, that you know, that you have on a farm. And when it's a family farm, and you know, that's, it's part and parcel of your life. How did you find then, you know, bringing somebody from the outside in, we'll say, that had no clue of farming?
It was difficult at that start, I suppose. It was a little bit like trying to teach a child how to walk, you know. Although an adult, Ellen was very eager to learn and wanted to...
Questions.
Yeah. And when you're used to working on your own and doing your own thing for so long, like, that was a little bit of a learning curve. Mm-hmm. But we got there, like, there was lots of ups and downs.
We take that as a strength now, because it's made you second guess the way you do things, because I've asked questions and he's had to think of answers, made him accountable. And I'm like, well, maybe there's a better way. That's the way your parents did it for the past 30 years. But our farm now is run, we've a different breed of cow, different size of cow. There's two of us working. I'm like, maybe we should do it this way. And sometimes you would challenge me and like, no. And 2 weeks later, you might come back and say, actually, I've thought about that.
Well, I suppose that idea of that's the way it's always been done. Mm-hmm. So when somebody comes in and challenges your thinking, as you said, it can be really good.
But a lot of the time, he would just be like, you just don't understand. Just come out and I'll show you that that's not actually possible.
Stand in the gap. Yeah. That's what you're
made it easier
jobs.
For when our kids are old enough to come and do jobs and stuff then. Like, you know, you had more patience, kind of a bit of a short fuse at times. But
there were simple things like a fertilizer bill being big. And I'm like, I don't understand. Does grass not just grow?
Yes.
Like what? Yeah. And he'd be like, no, we need a soil sample and all the technology and science behind it. And I was like, what?
So it was quite a steep learning curve, Ellen.
Like the fact that Joe went to university and got a degree in agriculture, I was like, what?
Yes,
educated everyone is. Like, like when I say I knew nothing, like I just, everything was amazing for the first few years. It was like, what?
But how did you find yourself immersed in the farm? Because for a lot of people, you might start dating a farmer, but you very much will have separate careers, separate lives. What made you take the decision to really, I suppose, muck in?
I had just done a course in special needs to be a special needs assistant, and Joe had rang me and just said, you know, there's those jobs down here. We're only gone out about 6 months. And I was like, oh, okay. So we bought a mobile home, decided we were going to build a house. We plunked it in the middle of the yard, right beside the cow shed. So if you weren't going to be liking it, you were going to know pretty soon, weren't you?
Yeah, you had background music the whole time from the cabs.
So we put in planning permission, got the planning permission, and it was a very quick learning curve that if I wanted to see Joe, I needed to just go out because it's not a 9 to 5. He could never give a guarantee of when he'd be in. And he had kind of pre-warned me that the last girl he was with constantly was texting, putting him under pressure, and there was rows. So I was like, right, if I go out and help, he'll be in sooner. Or I was just interested to see, I reckon if we were self-employed in any business, I'd be getting stuck in. That's just the way I am. So I'd go out and sometimes was following around like a child, just trying to learn. And other times, and then as it progressed, I was actually able to help. So into a fully fledged farmer.
Yeah, it's a huge benefit, like, to be able to share the load, workloads, the mental side of it as well. Like, you know, good days, bad days. Yeah. It's just, even if your wife or your partner, it doesn't want to be that hands-on, but understands what's going on, you know, can accept that you're not going to be in evening times early, as Ellen said, 9 to 5 or whatever, but look, I know you're under stress, the weather's bad, you know, I'll cook you dinner, here we go, you know, just...
Yeah, being able to, I suppose, like, have that connection and have, exactly, and that understanding.
Yeah,
and really, you know, like that, the ups and downs of farming, you know, the challenges, I'm sure this spring has been really hard with weather, and having somebody that is there to listen to you. And actually, and sometimes in your case, that can help or maybe suggestions. It is really, you know, it's really good to have that and really important to have it, as you
very
said.
Important, because you can get out, you know, you go to work early in the morning, it could be dark when you're going out, particularly in our situation, milking cows early, and you go the whole day without seeing anybody. Like, the phone is handy, you can talk to people, whatever, but that physical contact or interaction with other people and... yeah, just having that support system. Ellen, can you come or like call in with the kids after school, blah, blah, you know.
Or sometimes it's, I saw this product online, go research it. And I'm back an hour later with three different options. What will we do? Yeah. This is, you know.
So then, I suppose, how did the natural progression go to you being busy on a farm, living your life, both of you working hard to, hey, let's put this up on YouTube. Like, how did that decision come about?
Yeah, we were always quite active on social
Ellen
media.
Ellen decided it wasn't.
We decided.
We were active on social media and we'd taken on the Twitter Ireland's Farmers account that would have like 20,000 followers. We'd done a week stint of that a few times and the Agri Aware page on Instagram. And I suppose there was a few different things. Our kids watch YouTube. We watch telly all the time. They watch these YouTube families. And one family in particular, they do loads of acrobatics and stuff. And my daughters were like, Mommy, can we have a YouTube channel? And I said, I don't have time to make content and bring in new places and all these things. And then we done the AgriAware page and I had 140 videos. And I thought to myself, I don't need to make different content. Our life is content. And anytime I would put stuff up, and I'd always try to make it educational, because a lot of girls that followed me would be from my secondary school in Terranure. And I would explain things, why the girl was humping the girl cow and why we're spreading fertilizer and, you know, real basic things. And they're like, wow, that is so interesting. And I just thought, God, there's so many people like me who have just thought grass grew and would find this interesting. And I just said to Joe one day, I'm going to put all this on a video tomorrow and put it on YouTube. And your initial reaction was, oh, I don't know, will there be a backlash?
Oh, yeah. Well, come on, Joe, now tell us, you know, how did you find the idea of talking to camera? I suppose the vulnerability of people getting a bird's eye view into your day-to-day life.
That was a large part of it. I suppose farmers by nature, a lot of farmers by nature would be quite private. And you're always wary of people judging or mm-hmm. looking in over the ditch or whatever, you know. And
because farmers can get a hard time sometimes,
particularly in current climes and what's going on. So I was apprehensive, there's no two ways about it. But a happy wife is a happy life, so I jumped on board quite reluctantly. But
there was situations that there would be articles in the newspaper and you would say to me, how would anyone believe that? Yeah. And I said, Joe, I would have believed that.
Okay.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And
so you wanted to, I suppose, show people an honest reality of day-to-day life
farming.
Without
barking at people, I was like, just show them. Just mm-hmm. show our life that it's Irish families, the amount of people that come and go on our farm. Some days you mightn't see someone for 3 days. And then for the next week, every day, there were 3 or 4 people coming and going, spreading slurry, salespeople. That there's a whole world that people don't know about. And I was like, we can just show them. We don't have to bark at them saying, look at us, look at us. We can just show them. And I think people seem to be interested, so...
Well, you see even Jeremy Clarkson, Clarkson's Farm, like it's not necessarily farmers or people that have an interest or understanding of agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's people that genuinely have no clue. And I suppose they're probably laughing away at Jeremy doing things wrong. But really, there's an understanding. Oh, my God, this is I had no idea that this is the life.
We're just trying to show what it's like on your typical Irish farm or Irish family farm.
And that's the key as well that I said, you don't need to be worried. We're not going to put up a pretense. We're just going to be
warts and all.
We're not hiding anything, so you don't have to be nervous. No one's catching you out because we're literally trying to show everything. Like when things go wrong, Joe let, what was the antibiotics into the tank? We had to dump the whole tank. It was like €1,000 worth of milk. Like, we just showed it. We showed the crash into the shed. Like, we're showing everything.
As
like
you said,
when we make mistakes.
And all.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, you mentioned their family a few times. You have 4 kids. So aside from running a farm, it's a very busy life. I suppose... Tell us even about your kids growing up on the farm, and I suppose you know they're now working with you as well. I know,
and they all play GAA.
Oh, great! Okay,
and that is such not in a bad way, but that takes up so much time.
Yeah, busy.
So as they've gotten older, now it's a thing of we should be finished by 5:30 because on a Wednesday night there's 4 matches on, and we're like separate in different ways, ringing granddad for a lift and everything. And Joe coaches one of our lads plays county. Joe coaches under 15 team. The girls both play football in Camogie, so we're out so much. And then ourselves, we try to exercise as well, just for a mental break.
So important.
So it seems to have gotten busier as they've gotten older. However, they're out on the farm more, and without even knowing it, they've started an apprenticeship from the age of 4 or whatever. Like they've so much knowledge.
But the work ethic, the skills that they learn. I saw that you handed over the reins and the responsibility to your son recently while you went away. I mean, that's amazing, you to learn that for life.
Yeah, it's we'd done it the same when we were younger. Like there were 7 of us, and like that, as soon as you were big enough to carry a bucket or open or close a gate, you were out doing something. And that was something I wanted for hours, you know. And we only put on responsibility when we think that they're able to take it. Like, as you said, like Fionn managed the place while we were away last week and, you know, done it cool as a breeze.
But there's so much enjoyment as well in growing up on a farm.
Yeah, well, there's freedom and you're outside and we have our own milk and we have our own beef, and you learn how to work hard. You learn that if you put in the effort, you get rewarded for it. Responsibility, life and death, you know, all that
the
stuff.
Ups and downs, the ups and downs, you know, of working out.
Like the kids get paid for coming out. So when they were little, they didn't have a value in money, but Joe would say, one of our sons wanted to buy a calf. Well, how much did I earn today, Daddy? And you'd say, one ear and the tail today. And then, right, Daddy, the next day. And there, or our other son would be like, Daddy, can I come milking? Because I want to buy a game for the Xbox, you know, and to go onto the Revolut card. So, it's age
skills.
Appropriate.
How did you make the decision about when you were creating YouTube, who to include your kids on your YouTube? Like, you know, what was that decision process like?
At the start, it was the kids were all on board, mad to do it. And we've all gotten more confident around the camera as it's went on. I guess anyone that comes into the yard, as in to work, they there's not a sign at the gate, but there kind of is a sign at the gate. You're on the camera.
Yeah.
Unless someone says they don't want it, then they're not. So we haven't really put your family on it at all. You know, just like distant granny walk through the yard or granddad helps today. But we're for sticking a camera in someone's face, obviously we ask them, like, but basically it's just showing it's Joe's basically a one man show, and myself and our eldest son Fionn, we make up the other labour unit between the two of us. We both started our apprenticeship, I feel, together, and lately I feel like he's surpassed me because he's out so much with Joe, but I'm with the other kids or doing errands and stuff, and I'm like, oh, he can do things.
So, before I can. What has the response been like, you know, to YouTube? And like, who do you find are actually watching the videos?
At the start?
Yeah, well, at the start, there was a lot of non-farming people, which was kind of expected, I suppose, because Ellen would have a good following on Instagram and always get interaction from non-farming people.
And it was calving time.
Yeah, so a lot of newborn cows, yes. You know, really interesting.
Late nights, early starts.
From people that are from a non-farming background, so that's really interesting. Of course, newborn life is always good to look at. But it's evolved a bit now to... The summer is more about grass, growing grass and cutting silage and all that sort of jazz. So, yeah, and the sciencey side of things. So there is more farmers, I suppose, interacting, which
is
brilliant.
Sometimes it's a football channel. I have to cut some of talking about his match he played last night and I just be like, cut it short. It's not a football channel.
Yeah. How, like, do you ever stop to think, because, you know, we hear and we watch reality TV shows and we watch, you know, people watch the Kardashians and they watch all this, you know, Big Brother and people watching everyone's day-to-day movements. Do you ever stop and think about, like, I suppose the vulnerability of, you know, you being on camera all the time? I'm sure there's probably things you've said or done that you're like, oh, the camera's picked that up now. Will we share that?
Well, that's the joy of me editing it. However, I feel sometimes, you know, you'd show something and I'm like, someone could see that and get the wrong idea. So then I'll put up an explanation beside it. Like, we were dehorning calves. And, well, the normie Americans are straight in with, do you know you can buy, what's the semen that they don't have the horns?
Oh, Paul's semen.
Paul's semen. And I said, yeah, but that breed doesn't come pulled. We do with these other ones are pulled.
Okay.
And, asking you questions like that, do you realise, like, yeah, it's our livelihood and the Irish farming sector is extremely educated and maybe the Americans aren't, but we are. So I find when we do show something, it's our opportunity to educate people. Instead of hiding, I'm like, no, Joe, show it. And then we'll explain why we're doing it. And it's law and it's for animal safety and for human safety. And I feel like they're opportunities to explain and educate people rather than hide it away because there might be a misunderstanding.
Yeah, because there is a massive disconnect. Like, it's what, two generations ago, everyone was only one generation removed from a farm. Like you say, I didn't know that you're from a farm background. Emily out in the hall, like, she, her dad or her uncle is a farmer as well. Like, and that's getting bigger and bigger. So this is our way of trying to get it back front and centre a little bit.
And like, even Paul texted in, he said, I'm from a farm and I don't have a clue about soil samples and that sort of stuff. And I'd say, oh, I don't either. So you're not just educating the non-farming population, you're also, I suppose, giving people from a farming background, like, education and thoughts and having things they mightn't even be fully aware about.
We're
themselves
very active
too.
In our local Chagas group, and I'm doing the Chagas Green Cert course at the moment to educate myself more I'm constantly like to be qualified in my own right. So that I'm more of in a partnership with Joe as opposed to just asking him constantly.
Early retirement for me.
All right, you're talking about feet up already.
Ellen and Fionn now will be
actually
away.
Speaking of feet up, what do you do if you ever get a rare moment? You know, what do you like to do to switch off and unwind? Or is that such a thing? Am I allowed to? If I asked that to my dad, he'd throw the eyes up. I'm sure I don't have time to do that.
I have a habit of forgetting birthdays. Important ones, because mine is in 15th of February when calving starts. Ellen's unfortunately falls when we're cutting first cut silage, so it has been forgotten once or twice. So when the year is quieter, when the cows go dry, November, December time, we try and sauce it a bit more. We have some very, very good friends that we try and get out with as regular as we can.
Great.
Other than that, it's just football matches and training and just, you know, sit on the couch for half an hour.
We used to run together as well and go to exercise classes. We do that sometimes over the winter.
Oh, well, fair play. I couldn't run now, Kev. Jeez, no, there'd be fights. There'd be more fights of us running together than would be us.
We're getting annoyed that he's so fit and he hasn't trained in a year and I've been training all year. I'm sure he's farming.
Yeah, but you see, farmers, you just have that fitness. When on Ireland's Fittest Family, I'm always the farming family.
Oh, we can't wait. We're waiting to the girls.
Yeah,
oh, brilliant. We're recruiting. Now, where can people, I suppose, join you on the farm and actually, you know, where do they find the videos?
Joe's username is... the Gaff Farmer on Instagram. I'm at Being a Farm Wife, and our YouTube channel is just called O'Neill Dairy Farm.
Well, Ellen and Joe, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for sharing and thank you for being honest. And it looks to me from the two here that you have great crack as well. On the
most
farm.
Days, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, that's what it's all about, because it is tough, but you have to make the most of it. So continued success to you, and I'll be tuning in now myself
thanks
now as well.
Very much,
thank you so much. Thank you. Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.